Now I have the privilege of introducing our speaker for the night. And I've met this guy 7 or 8 years ago, probably, at Man to Man.
Yeah.
Lived 20 miles away from each other and had to go 150 miles to meet the guy. But we were sitting out behind the dorms Saturday night smoking cigars and listening to Willie Wilson and telling dirty jokes and just having a big time. There were about 10 or 12 of us out there. And I felt like I knew you from the start. You know, never had seen you before, but you just, I don't know, there was an air about you. And, you know, over the years we got to know each other fairly well. The only thing I don't know is I invited Keith, but a lot of times Skippy shows up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Keith shows up and Skippy's right behind him. Sometimes Skippy's there and Keith is around. You just don't know. So I'm kind of interested to hear who shows up and talks tonight, too. So yep. Without further ado, Keith and or Skippy.
Thank you, David. I'm Keith, and I'm definitely an alcoholic.
Thank you. Thank you.
My sobriety date is September the 22nd, 1997. I came in just a little bit in front of Margaret over at the Whitney group. That's been my group. A lot of people from Whitney transferred in from all over the country, but my sobriety has been right there in Whitney, Texas. And Terry, you should have been a speaker tonight. No, you really should have been. I mean, the deal is, you basically summed it all up in what you said tonight. So I'll tell you about me and maybe throw in a little drunk along, a little funny stuff. But otherwise, you nailed it. You nailed it with everything you said. Because the number of days you've got in this program, the number of years you've got in this program, I've only got today. That's all I've got. I was tested this last week. My wife has cirrhosis of the liver and never drank. Her family has what they call a fatty liver. They inherited it, the thing, in the family. The girls have it. And my wife has had a lot of migraine headaches and a lot of stuff like that, and they feel like that's probably what it is. Or maybe she might have had hepatitis sometime and they didn't know it and it didn't really show up in the right form or whatever. But the bottom line is, I get a phone call while I'm in Waco, and she says, I'm throwing up blood. And what happens, the liver is trying to rejuvenate, and the veins stuff trying to form new blood vessels and stuff around the liver don't go to the liver, so they look for somewhere else to go. So they go into the esophagus and come out through the line of the esophagus wall here. Well, she had a bleed in that, and of course, when you're at the Whitney ER and you're throwing up blood and you need to be at Scott and White, and I get a phone call in Waco, so I burn up. I know where the highway patrolman lives on 56, if all y'all don't. So I burned up the highway getting up here. The bottom line is we got it all done. She got down there, and I got back home Friday afternoon, and everything's okay. And I don't have to drink over that. Now, I saw my life changing in front of me when I look at her, and she's got like a little pink bedpan, and she's throwing up in this blood all in there. And how are we going to get this stopped in Whitney, Texas? Because she really needs to be in the ER in Temple. But, you know, I've just got to rely on the program, and I've got to rely on my higher power. And I was brought up in the Baptist church, and I always knew about God and everything, but since I've been in the program Alcoholics Anonymous, my God and I have a different understanding. It's a different deal, totally different deal. I don't know how to explain. Most of y'all can probably identify when you got here. It was a different deal, but I was tested one more time this last week. And that's just, that's life. But the way I would have handled that in the past is that was an opportunity to feel sorry about Keith. That was the time, an opportunity. I can't deal with life on life terms, so I'm going to self-medicate. I'm going to shut these voices up in my head by drinking. And I didn't have to do that. Because of these rooms, because of the big book, and the program. Okay, that was this last week. I'll take you back to me. I grew up over in the big city of Hillsboro. Didn't drink through high school. I was a football player, and I took that oath. I was going to be the clean-cut kid. I wasn't going to do the shit that, you know, I was going to be all I could be at that time. And I didn't. I didn't. I didn't drink until I got out of high school. Jim put the story in right now before I forget it. When I was in high school, I just got out of high school. We used to follow Willie Nelson. We were the kids from Hillsboro. We were his roadies. And actually, he wasn't known at the time at all. I actually had short hair. We used to sit at his table with him in between sets. I've sat there and cried with Charlie Pride. I'm not Charlie Pride. What's that little guy that died? Take this job and shove it.
Johnny
Paycheck. Sitting there crying like a big baby in his beer. Oh, I said, what's wrong with you, man? He said, oh, nobody came here to see me. They came to see Willie. I said, no shit. But, you know, let's get over this. You know, what's your deal? You know, so I did all that kind of craziness. And that particular night, he was leaving. And we would follow him. Like he'd say, what you kids going to do? And we'd follow him over we were at Panther Hall. We'd follow him over to Dewey Graham's Longhorn Ballroom over there at 4th and Industrial to whoever played over there. He'd go see them. But that night, Charlie Pride was playing over there. And Charlie Pride was just coming into his own in country music. And somebody says, you know, here's a black man in country music. And you know, I said, this is not a black man in country music. This is my brother. And kissed him right in the mouth. So I got to see some historical moments drinking, you know, and that's when I started drinking back then. But I never drank. I was an episodic drinker. Even back when I came into the program, I didn't drink on a daily basis. But when I worked for the state of Texas, you know, you got to semi be careful if you maintain your employment. Even though there was times when I thought, you know, I could get into this kind of trouble and that kind of trouble, I always had a sense of, well, as long as I told DeMarc in the morning and came to the meeting, I was going to be okay, you know. And I did a whole lot of drinking in Austin, Texas. And I got some funny stories. I was over in South Austin, had to get back to East Austin with a quadriplegic. And, he wasn't quite, he was a para, because he did have hand controls. That was my problem. He was so drunk, and I was so drunk, he was coaching me on how to drive his vehicle right down Congress Avenue, just drunker through the ground. So those were just drunk-along kind of things. But today, I don't really talk about that much. What I like to talk about is my program. Yeah, okay, what it was like back then, I've told you that, some of the things, you know, drinking and that sort of thing. Basically, we moved to Lake Whitney for a geographical cure. Y'all all heard that crap. Moved to Lake Whitney. I didn't know anything about Lake Whitney claiming to be the AA capital of the world or any of that crap. I did know that I had, as a rehab person, a lot of people that were on my caseload had been to retreats to Redwood Lodge. I didn't know a whole lot about Lake Whitney, and, you know, I just didn't associate it with being that involved with the rehab, the AA and the drugs and all that was going on up there. I don't know why, but I knew there was a retreat at Redwood Lodge. But we moved up there. We moved out on the lake. and my wife was going to Al-Anon for some reason. Silly me, you know. She was going to Al-Anon, and she was going with Bob and Eunice Olson. And if y'all know them, they've been in AA for their entire life. And see, it tickled me to death when they'd go off to the meetings. I went fishing down the cove, you know, I'd drink a beer, go down off the cove, do whatever. I just never considered myself an alcoholic. Now, in my job, I would tell a lot of people, I had a lot of people sign papers, because if I'm in vocational rehab, and if you're going to get services, you got to show me you're doing something about your disability, especially if it's alcohol or drugs. So I would get signed papers just like a probation parole officer. I was sentencing people to this program, and I'm out here drinking, doing my deal. You know, it's not like, this is not for me, this is for somebody else. This is for people who really need help. I was in such a fog that I really didn't know. I didn't have a whole lot of direction in my life at the time. But what I saw in the couple that lived across the cove from me was something that I wanted. She had been an Al-Anon forever. Bob has got probably 40 years in the program. And I saw the life that they had. Now, I said we moved for a geographical cure. For that, my wife and I, we were fighting like dogs and cats. So when I saw this couple over there living, this serene type, loving, I'd see them out on the porch reading stuff together. I never sat down with my wife and read anything calm like that. You know, we'd watch TV shows, stuff like that. But kind of, it looked like they were just so, and I'd go over and Bob would say stuff like, you see that star up there and that moon? He said, that's Eunice's star. And I said, what? I wasn't in touch. You know, I wasn't seeing the world like I think we see the world. We start recognizing trees and flowers and stuff. I didn't have a clue. So Eunice started working on me as an Al-Anon. You might be an alcoholic, you know, and Bob. Never forced the issue really that much. He just let me kind of go into it and do the, hey, why don't you come visit a meeting? I sit there on the back row, and you know, it's hard to sit in here every time and not take a desire trip. I did it for 3 months. I did it for 3 friggin' months. I don't know about this deal, but you know what I did know? Once I ever made the commitment, I was going to have to be committed. And then I had already screwed up my drinking after about 4 or 5 meetings. I thought, oh, shit, now you know better. You know, so, okay, how are you going to do this deal? So I said to it, I'd say, well, I'm not like him, and I'm not like her. And I hadn't lost my car yet, and I wasn't under a bridge, and you know. And then I said, "Yeah, but damn, I'm just like him, you know." And you know what? We're all alike. And then I see all this stuff, and so I was sitting there, and I got to be friends with people in the group already. I got to be friends with Maloney. You know, y'all curses, whatever. Maloney, I got to be, and he was already kind of doing his little song and dance around me and stuff. And he goes and has a heart attack, and it's in Providence Hospital. And everybody, I go down there and see him, and everybody goes out to smoke or whatever, and they leave me in a room with him, and the dude starts throwing up. So I've got me a trash can. And I'm catching puke in this trash can. And from that puke, he looks up and he said, when are you going to take a chip? I said, dude, don't die. Don't die, and Monday night I'll take a chip. He said, promise. And Barbara Harris I'm dropping names tonight because Barbara said, you know, Keith, what are you waiting for? Go back, take the chip. I did the same kind of thing, do the deal. And from that point on, I walked in there, took the chip, and it's been a great thing ever since. Maloney goes when he as soon as he gets back. He bought me a book, big book, like a lot of sponsors do. He bought a big book and stuck it in my hand. Have your butt in my office Tuesday night. And there were three of us. He said, we're gonna work the steps together. Kind of like, okay. I knew my life was so screwed up. Let's go, whatever. And he said, I'm going to do you just like my sponsor, Bob White, did me. He said, here's your book, and here is your yellow magic marker. And he says, we're going to start from page one. We're going to start at the cover. He said, any word from the cover I'm on, we're going to do it. And he said, every time you feel like this might apply to you, you highlight it. Well, I read 15, 20 pages on his assignment. We had assignments. Okay. Looked like somebody peed my book.
It was solid yellow.
I mean, it was yellow. I mean, everything in there applied to me. And he said, and I think I remember the first meeting, it was like, now what the part of that, why you weren't going to take a chip? I don't know, but I wasn't going to. I had to make up my mind that this is truly what it is. I was embarrassed to come to my first meeting. I didn't want anybody to know I was an alcoholic. I didn't want anybody to see my car in the parking lot. All that stuff, I didn't want to see that. I didn't want that to happen to me. And he said, well, how you feel now? I said, I bought the deal. I bought it, and this is going to be my way of life. Out of the three guys that we went through that with, I'm the only one that's still sober. Out of the three. I thought one night, Don and one of the fellas go get in a fight. I mean, we're there studying the big butt, but it almost went to a fist city. So I got a good baptism, and hey, this is the way it can work, and this is the way it doesn't work, and this is how somebody could object to something and whatever. But if you want the deal, you gotta toe the mark. And I didn't see it as an option not to do it exactly that way because it had worked for him. So I feel like, hey, this is gonna work for me too. So let me do exactly everything he did. He says, we're going to man, we're going to go this, we're going to do this, get in the car, we're going to go to Waco, we're going to hear this, we're going to do this. I was ready to go because I knew my life had to change. And that's kind of the way that thing all started off. Thank God I had somebody like that that loved me enough and cared enough about me to stick with that thing right there at the first. After that, my journey has been really interesting. I've got to say the last 3 years have been my best years in Alcoholics Anonymous, though, because I truly have figured out a way to have the enjoyment and fun and the attraction with the program that I had when I was drinking. I think until the point that I could say, I really, really want to go and I want to be there and I'm not looking for an excuse. There's a million excuses not to go to a meeting. I've never left a meeting that I didn't feel good, that I didn't learn something in that meeting, something that somebody said, something that I could take away from them, to take away from the meeting, to take back. My conscious contact with God, I don't know exactly when that happened, but I know I was on that little, if y'all remember over there, used to be the fish place, Cherokee Station, that bad bumpy road. I'd like to say I was sitting on the lake and I saw the sunset coming up and all this, and all of a sudden it came over me, this warm glow feeling. Nope, I was dodging potholes. And all of a sudden this feeling came over, it's like, you know what, this is all probably going to be okay. And it was weird that's when it happened. And I just started smiling. I couldn't explain it. You know, somebody says a burning bush or God spoke to you or whatever. I'm on a bumpy, dusty damn road and dodging potholes. And I guess, you know, that's when Skippy was probably developed. I don't know. And I did the Skippy thing. This Skippy thing is just some people. My wife told me, you need to shut that up. People think you're crazy. You need to shut that up and, you know, just drop Skippy. And I said, no, that's part of me. I said, everybody talks about, my conscience told me to do this. I just named mine. I just named him Skippy. Skippy is just, he's my alter ego. He's the one that tells me, you know, it might be okay to you to be a beer tester because you could take that little sip and not really enjoy it much. Where the hell would that come from, you know? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you how much Skippy's are that goes in my head. I had a drunk dream. Because of this deal the other day with Deborah going to the hospital, I had a drunk dream. Because all that emotional stuff and how I used to handle that would be to get plastered, pass out. And then, you know, I didn't hear the voices for a while telling me all this is going on and you don't have control over this. And, you know, when I'm in that back of the ambulance, I'm thinking, I need to be driving this damn ambulance. I need to be, you know, how can I help you people? You know, doctors, can I hold the tubes for you? You know, like we do. And for me to grow up and sit still and have the conscious contact with God that I have now that I didn't have only is by the grace of this program. I can't do this on my own. I choose right now, I choose to, in the morning, read the daily reflection. I choose to attend at least 3 meetings a week, and that's generally out the squirrel cage. If y'all haven't been to the Saturday or Sunday morning meetings over in Whitney, we have this pretty wide open, and that's the kind of folks I like to be around, is wild and crazy, because that's the kind of people when I used to drink and be with, they were, you know, fun people. You know, we got people that I thought sometimes when we might have some kind of visitor or a dignitary from another city. I thought, hey, hell, because I'm thinking, oh, shit, Tommy's going to say this, or, you know, he's going to say MF this and MF that and a second coming, and Jim may one morning come in and say, but well, this is the way I see it. And you know what? That's the way we start off today. This is the way, you know, and it may be Marshall's day to come in and say, I had a one son of a bitch and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, identify with that. Jim explained not too long ago about a friend who had died because he didn't get help from a certain thing. I can identify with that. That's the thing. I want to hear real stuff. I want to see the newcomers coming in. We sign 6-7 papers every Saturday, Sunday. We got some people that have come in signing papers who are some of the best members we've ever had in that group, that they're now the cornerstone, and man, they could say things I can't say. I hadn't been to prison yet, but they could sit there and say, dude, this is how I'm doing it today, because they may look at me and say, oh, he works for the state, he's got a nice car, I don't think I can associate with him. But they can look at somebody else that just got out of prison, still got a leg monitor on or something like that, and they can identify. And that's kind of what that group's about. But I know there's groups everywhere I visited Austin, I visited places, and I see things. But my group is that group, and that's where I feel comfortable. I look for reasons. When I miss a meeting now, I feel a void. Or used to miss a meeting, it wasn't that big a deal. Wasn't that big a deal. And maybe I look for a reason not to go to that meeting. But that has changed. That has changed. My family appreciates the heck out of it. I think David was there probably the night we had the little lady that she didn't see real well. And she was chairing the meeting and she was kind of new. And she didn't know me. It's birthday night. So I went up to her before the meeting and I said, "I'm Keith and it's my birthday tonight." And she said, "Oh, good. I've been looking for you." I said, "Good." She said, "Who's going to introduce you?" I said, "Skippy." So, poor little lady, you know. she said, I think that's probably 8 years and a half years, something like that. She said, "Keith's representative, he's celebrating 8 years, and he's to be introduced by Skippy." Well, I just got up and started walking to her, and she was going, "Just let me have the chair." So I stood there, I took the chip from her, and I stood there as Skippy, and I introduced Keith. Now, there's some people in the room that I'm thinking I'm probably going to piss some people off because this might be disrespectful to AA in some way because it's meant so much for some people to be introduced by somebody and say this. But I said, this is it, folks. So I introduced myself. Skippy introduced Keith. And I explained Skippy thinking. And I think I was thanking everybody in the group for what they had done for Keith. For Keith. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you people are really, I'm talking straight to him. I said, "You people have really done a good job of Keith." He said, "You know, when he came here," and I talk about, you know, he didn't want to be in the program. He didn't want to have a sponsor. He didn't want to do this. He didn't want to do that. And he says, "You know, and y'all have done a really good job. Y'all really have done a good job." And then I said, "Okay, Keith, come on up here and get your chip." I just turned around and handed myself the chip. "Hi, I'm Keith. I'm an alcoholic." "Thank you, Skippy." You know, but I just went out there on a leap of faith that somebody's going to say, "Get that fool off the podium. Get that fool off. Get that fool off the podium." You know, he's making a mockery of this program that saved all these people's lives, and now this fool is up there just acting out. But the truth of the matter is, I did that because that voice, the voice of Skippy, well, used to be quietened by alcohol. The voice of Skippy now is quietened by you people and the big book. And that is so neat. But my wife still says sometimes, "You need to shut that up." I've changed sponsors. It's been this last year I changed sponsors. I found a sponsor that is so calm. And so when I'm with him, he calms Skippy and Keith down. You know, because I just about bring anything to you. It's kind of like, "I just killed a mayor and 7 cops. Why'd you do that?" You know, it would be that. Just be the response. "Well, why did you do that?" That's what the sponsor said. "Why did you do that?" "I think we're probably going to have to figure this one out." And see, in that kind of tone of voice, it's not like, you know, my other sponsor would have just been, but I found somebody that, and that's what I'm saying that for. Find somebody to be your sponsor that you truly can work with. can, you know, that you can lay it all out there, and they don't judge you. They don't judge you. They don't. It's all about program. His whole life is about program and the conscious contact of God. And when he speaks, he always feel calm. I always felt calm in meetings when he'd talk. I need that in my life. I need that in my life. Besides the program, everything, I need a sponsor that any time I could go to. And I don't know, I think he comes by and talks to me as much as I talk to him. You know, we do a little porch thing in the rocking chairs, and that's we keep that thing going. But the truth of it is, Keith, I'm an alcoholic. I have today sober. This program has changed my life, the way I used to think. My stinking thinking, my craziness and all that. I have something that I can hold on to. When I walk in these rooms, I feel a part of. I feel, and this is mine. This is my deal that I thought about. I was thinking one day, I said, God damn, I just feel warm and fuzzy when I'm with my people. I went out, we can say anything in these rooms, and if somebody else heard that, they'd say, these people need to be locked up, you know, because that ain't funny, you know. I burned my wife's clothes, and I had gas on her, and we're all just laughing, you know, holy cow, you know, how could you talk so? But we all understand that, because we've all kind of been there with that sort of thing. And today, I choose to make my program as attractive to me and enjoyable for me as I did when I drank. I said that a while ago. And that's truly the way that I can make this work. I don't ever want to have the drug. There for a while, it was like I was having to work real hard. To me, it was working hard to go to meetings. You know, it's like I had to really think about it. I had to think, you know, well, you know, do I really need, you know, yeah, do I need this time? I'm doing pretty good. You know, do I just need to touch up a little bit? Could I just go to, I've changed that. That has changed. And that has changed only by time, seeing what the program does for others, and working with others, I've got one I'm working with right now. It's just a damn miracle. It's just a damn miracle. And I talked with him today, and now he's in a relationship. And we all know the pitfalls of that. And you know, how do I help him without me being a counselor, opinionated, hard ass, get it across in a way that he understands all the dangers and what this means to his sobriety? Because I want him to look at, what if she leaves you? From day one. Not that you're so in lust so much to this point that you don't see it. You're already in there so far. Now, what are you going to do? Because you already got two strikes against you, third strike, you're looking at habitual. This is not a game. This is life and death. And that's the kind of thing that I want to be available to other people for at this time. I couldn't have done that in the past. I was selfish. It was all about me. How am I going to look? How am I going to look if he went back to prison? Now, what the hell would that be kind of thinking be about? But that's how I was. That's how I was. It's self-centered, like, well, this will look bad for me. Not even thinking about his life is ruined. I'd be thinking about, everybody knows that I was working with him, and he failed. Now, that's the sickness that I suffer with. And it was always look good at all cost. Try to try to not be ever seen in a light, and for everybody to like you. For everybody to like you, you know, that you want everybody to like you. I hope people like me, but I don't have to have that now. I don't have to have that. All I have to have is these rooms, the program, and other alcoholics around me. I've got to work. I don't fit in the free world. My tolerance for bullshit is so little now. People come up and tell me stuff, I'm thinking, I just stand here and grit your teeth. But my tolerance for people who just kind of waste your time, like, you know, but you got to be real careful, because that one you think they may be wasting your time may be the one that turns around. So it's a hard deal to do. But I want to be of service, and I want to be available to anybody and everybody for this program. It is Alcoholics Anonymous. Everybody in my office knows that I'm alcoholic. The only way I could help anybody in that office, if their family or anybody needs help, is if they know that. That's the way I look at this program. And that's the way I got to live it that way. And I, you know, if you'd have told me that 11 years ago, I say, hellfire, there ain't no way in the world I'd tell somebody I was an alcoholic, because they're going to always look at me like a drunk. I don't give a damn now, because I know what I know. My knower knows, and I know the program, and nobody can take that away from me. I can give it away, and I can screw it off. I can do that. But if I work it, nobody can take it away from me. And I don't know whether I've said anything to help anybody here tonight. I'm just talking about me and talking about from my heart, and I think if anything, make Alcoholics as attractable and have as much fun in Alcoholics Anonymous as you did when you were drinking. Because that's kind of like you started off, Terry. You came here, you didn't want to change. Come here to learn how to drink. You know, that's what we do. But to say a total change for the rest of my life scares the living hell out of everybody. Like, I can never do that again. But you get to the point, okay, that's okay, I don't want to do that now. I don't want to do that now. Because I know what that brings. I know what that brings to me. I don't want to do that. And if I can have fun, and I can read David's articles and Skippy understands most things. In fact, I've got on an ode of onion ring today. So I didn't read his article. It's about perfumes and stuff. So I think I rubbed a few onion rings on my arm before I'd be attracted to the group tonight. But that's pretty much my story. I don't know if it makes any sense. I just know that's where I am today, and the incident that happened this week with my wife would have been a whole lot different deal when I was drinking. I couldn't handle that. We've been married 41 years, and for you to see your loved one sitting there with a bucket of blood, and you think this is the end, it wouldn't be, you know. It's all in God's hands. But I can handle it. I've grown up in AA. In 11 years, I'm 63 years old. But the 11 years that I've had in AA have been the most educational years of my entire life. These 11 years. I can't count those other years. I don't know what happened. You know, you look back and you think, well, I guess I was just in a fog. I was just in a poor kind of a fog. But I'm home with you guys, and this is it. And David, thank you for inviting me to come over here. And thank you to Outlaws for riding over here with me. Well, this is, and Whitney, we got the Wednesday night group. There's a total men's group. We call it the Her group. And it is Her. It's we have some grr, you know, all men, you know. That's my three meetings. I have the squirrel cage on Saturday morning, squirrel cage on Sunday morning, and that meeting are my main meetings. Then we have speaker meetings on, you know, everything else. But something's wrong with me if I'm not in those meetings, those three meetings. And that's got to be my regiment. And I look so forward to it because of the people, because of the program, and I hope y'all find something that works for y'all. But that's what works for me. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you, Keith. It's an honor to be here tonight. Really is. Anytime I get to hear one of my friends share their life story and their AA story in particular, it's touching. If we hadn't got sober when we did, we might not have even been here.
That's right.
To go through those things.
That's right.
You know,
this is, I think Cher said it one time, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is the real deal. I mean, we're sitting here taking up space in this room tonight, and none of us knows what tomorrow brings. But we do know tonight we're sober.
And if Bud had been here tonight, he would have told you that drunk dream was just a freebie. He says he likes to have those. Because you wake up and you haven't broken your sobriety date, but you still got to party.
The first thing you do is thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're so happy. I'm so happy this morning. What's wrong with you? Go back to sleep.
Thanks again, Keith. We also celebrate monthly birthdays here with somebody at the end of the table with the chips volunteer to run through that.
Yes, deal. I can do that.
All right.
My name is Mert. I'm a child of God recovering from alcohol. My sobriety date's April 25th, 1998. For that, I'm very grateful. My family and friends are too, and I love AA, and AA saved my life.
Yes.
Okay, we're on a monthly chip. We're on a chip system, not just a monthly one, but a chip system. Recognize different lengths of sobriety. Our first chip is a desire chip. Is there anyone here who would like to try our way of life for the next 24 hours? Is there anyone here that needs to reestablish the sobriety date or return a wet one for a dry one? Is there anyone here celebrating 1 month of continuous sobriety? 2 months? 3 months? 6 months? 9 months? 18 months. Is there anyone here who has a yearly birthday today that would like their chip now? Yearly birthdays are celebrated as held on the last Wednesday of each month. Thank you for letting me do it.
Thank you. Please remember we're self-cleaning for our own efforts. Please remember everything shared here was shared in strict confidence. Do not repeat it to anyone here tonight. We've got a bunch of cake and donuts out there.
Oh, donuts.
Oh, I got to please help us eat those.
Sir, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
That's great. I respect that. That's a beautiful.
Yeah. Terry, lead us out of here, please.
Our Father.
Father, Lord in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Keep coming back. It works. It works.
It stays.